screen fully uploaded. So,
cool.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dumb podcast today. Oh, Mickey, I didn't ask to have pronounce your last name, and dude, I'm going to butcher it.
Jogolev.
Jogo?
Yeah. Jogo left. Like if you're telling a guy named Jogo left, take a left. Yeah.
All right. Let me restart. welcome to another episode. I'm super excited to have Mickey Jogolev. What a cool ass name that I already butchered once. So Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Excited to be here.
Mickey, can we start with just a minute or two of your background, upbringing, and what you're doing now?
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot to shove into a minute, but we'll give it a try. So upbringing was a little bit rough. I actually grew up in a rough household, drug addicted parents. Kind of followed suit into that, got into trouble when I was younger, a victim of circumstance, I would say, or let that be my story up until I got into too much trouble, decided to turn things around. That was actually late high school. Left that to do construction, did construction for about 10 years. That led to a lot of unhealthy habits, excessive drinking, eating, all of the things that come with working hard, playing hard on the back end. Realized how to change my life around. So personal fitness transformation, lost about 100 pounds, met my now wife. We opened a brick and mortar gym, dove into doing whatever we can to help people improve their life, built that business up, sold it. After we sold that, my wife and I traveled the nation chasing down food. Whatever looked good, we explored to try and eat it. And then now we have a nutrition coaching company where we focus on teaching people how to build a better relationship with food, work-life balance, just like overall quality of life, and realizing that they don't have to live restrictively if they want to look and feel the way that they want. And so we kind of use our food ventures as a billboard for that. It's like, hey, look, you can still enjoy really good food. You could travel a lot and still maintain or prioritize your health. So
I love that. And before you even finished the relationship with food portion, I'm already writing down my question of, okay, well, let's talk about the emotional side of food, because a lot of people don't understand that. And anyways, you addressed that right on. What was the thing that triggered your weight loss that you're like, today's the day? If you're anything like me, I did this for years and years. Well, I did this slowly, higher each time. You know, you lose 20, you gain 25, you lose 10, you gain 15. I was doing that for years until, for me, it was a decision to get a gastric sleeve surgery. I'm just like, boom, I'm forcing it. What was it for you?
Yeah, I didn't have the up and down. I think I just steady climbed for a while. So I started construction and then just kind of neglected myself and just kept climbing. I was someone that always wore bigger clothes. I didn't really see it because I just kind of like grew into my clothes. But I realistically, I had a friend that teased me enough to make me want to change something. It was someone he got out of prison. When he got out of prison, he was just like, oh man, like what happened to you? You look like shit. And he stayed on me for a while until finally I was like, hey, what's it going to take to get you to back off? And he was like, if you can do a single pull-up, then I'll leave it alone. And so obviously, like working construction, I was like, hey, look, I'm strong. No big deal. Like, let's go find a pull-up bar and we'll do it. And I couldn't even hold myself up. And so like, I was humiliated. I was like, this is horrible. And as a good friend should, he laughed at me for a little bit and then was like, all right, if you want help, I can help you make some changes. And so he just had one condition because he was sober. And at the time I was drinking excessively. So he's like, the only thing is if we're going to like work out together or do something, you can't show up drunk or you can't drink anything before we like start working out.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. So on that condition, that just like realistically led to me drinking a lot less, which is consuming a lot less calories and then being intentional about moving. And that just kind of snowballed into wanting to take better care of myself, like looking, feeling better. It's like when I drank less that I started to feel better. And then it was like, all right. And then same thing. Friend was like, hey, like after working out, last thing you want to do is, you know, go get fast food or eat the BS that you eat all the time.
Yeah.
So like, let's throw something in the crock pot. Like at least you can eat that once a day or do something like that. So he just started like helping me make these little changes. Like it wasn't beautiful overnight. Like we were still smoking cigarettes and working out. So it wasn't like it was like glorious. Yeah. It was just like little things day by day. And then that just kind of lit a passion for me to see like, all right, like let's dive deeper into this and how can I really control the outcome or learn more so that I can do even better.
Yeah. What you'd said about like, you can live the lifestyle you want and still live healthily. You know, I never believed that. And because I never changed my relationship with food, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to go on this diet. I'm going to eat low carbs or carnivore, whatever the hell I was trying at the time, where I was going to just fast and not eat anything for 3 days. But it was like, man, I can't see any of this being sustainable. Where now I've completely changed the relationship with food, and I use food as a fuel and something to make me feel better and operate, where before, especially knocking door to door, you get down on yourself a lot. So you go eat it, you know, you go eat your troubles, and then you make 10 grand in a day and you go celebrate with food. You know, it was just everything was food. But I'd love to hear, I guess, your perspective on what people's relationship, like, how do we develop those unhealthy relationships with food? And then how do you break those as well? What do you guys teach?
Yeah. So I think, like, realistically, developmentally, it happens from the time we're children, right? Like you scrape your knee and your parents are like, oh, you got a boo-boo, let's make it better. And then what do? They get you candy or ice cream or like something, right? And so, like, from a young age, you're conditioned to, like, oh, if something bad happens, I'll soothe it with some type of food. And that's where you get like, oh, I'm down on myself, I'll eat.
Yeah.
But then also same thing, celebration, like, oh, it's your birthday, we're gonna have cake and ice cream or whatever. So then you develop the relationship of, hey, when I'm doing really good, I'm going to celebrate with something that has calories or food. It's like from the time we're kids, that's ingrained in us, right? Or even if it's like, hey, we're going to be out running around all day, let's have a really big breakfast so that way we can hold over. And so you start to have these like weird relationships when it comes to food. And even before, like, it's not that like it's your parents' fault, like that's what they know too. But even like, one of the things that's interesting is that like when someone, it's always good to have a child on a feeding schedule, because as weird as it sounds, like from that young age, if they don't know exactly when they're going to eat again, they'll actually overconsume because they don't have no idea when the next meal is going to come. And that happens like before they logically understand what's going on,
yeah.
Which is why like when they're little, it's like, oh, cool. Like feeding times, snack times, like all having out regimen helps them to consume less. And that just carries over into adulthood. In regards to like making change or breaking that belief as you get older, it's different for everyone. I wish there was a single like answer, because if there was, everyone would be jacked and tan, and we're not. Everyone handles things very differently. But I think the simplest thing is to at first identify what some of those beliefs are and challenge them. You have to be willing to challenge them in order to break them. A lot of people don't even realize that they have those beliefs, so they're not willing to challenge them because it's just something they know inherently. So like, most people won't push the boundaries on that. And so for us, one of the things that we like to do when someone's starting with our app or our coaching program is to the first 2 weeks is kind of regimented, where you're on a meal plan, but the meal plan does include snacks, desserts, and alcoholic beverages. Because for most people, those are the things that they feel like they can't have and lose weight. So in the very beginning, we get them to lose, a couple pounds in 2 weeks, while still having a drink every night, or while still having ice cream, or we're still having something else. Cause then it's like, oh, like I can do this, or it is possible. Because sometimes the opposite, like when you've done carnivore or some of the other things, like you eliminate all this stuff and then you get really good results, and you reinforce the belief that, well, I can only make progress if I don't have these things. So we try to combat that right up front by saying, hey, let's get you progress. Let's get you some big wins in the beginning. While including some of this stuff so that you can see like, oh, cool. Like, and so for us, it's just that positive reinforcement of like, oh, going out to eat and then the next day waking up lighter. It's like, oh, like this is possible. Whereas like most people don't experience that. So yeah. They just believe the opposite.
And it's handing them the small wins right at the beginning, because it's like, if I will be motivated to lose weight if I'm on a strict meal plan, no alcohol, no desserts, for a few weeks, maybe a month if I'm lucky, you know, but it's just like, I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life. So what the hell's the point? And anyways, that's honestly the first time I've heard somebody say, including alcohol, you know, and I think that is important. I drink alcohol and I've lost 100 pounds still, you know, and I'm like, that's actually from the mental side. It's amazing that I'm like, oh, well, I can go have a drink if I want to have a drink, because I have everything else kind of outlined, and you know, I'm doing good in the day, which another, again, I'm focusing on what's worked for me. But at night I overeat all the time, and so to compensate for that, I eat 50 grams of protein through collagen peptides in my coffee and my pre-workout, and I don't get hungry till 2 or 3 o'clock. So it's like for me to now get in all my calories, which I still need at 1500 to 2000 calories, then I can have bigger meals and I don't even notice I'm on a freaking diet. And it's, yeah, and it's great. And I'm like, oh, I could do this. I also want to ask you because this is something that I've gone through with my weight loss. But I don't know if it was because of the surgery or just because I was more healthy. I don't know. I feel like I'm 1000% more sensitive to what's good for my body and what's not good for my body. I don't crave hamburgers because it doesn't make me feel good. I don't crave pizza because it just makes me feel heavy. What I crave is those little packets from Costco. Half of them have almonds and cranberries, and the other half has cheese. It's like I eat that every day because that is it's good, it's quick, and I feel good after. Did you go through something similar?
So I think sometimes with those situations, it's just exposure, right? So like if you eliminate something like that for a long period of time, then your body's tolerance for it gets less and less. So when you bring it back, then it's like, oh, you're hypersensitive to it. So like if it's something where if someone doesn't completely eliminate it, they have it on their regular basis, they probably won't have those like sensitivities to it. And then for you, like nuts, cheese, like having the sleeve, your overall like capacity or ability to have a high volume of food was a little bit lower. So like things like nuts and cheese.
4 ounces. They make your stomach 4 ounces. Imagine 4 ounces of steak. And it's like, that's not including water, you know, and you also need to drink water. It's very drastic.
Yeah. But with that is like nuts and cheese are very calorically dense. So it'll allow your body to get the calories and the nutrients that it needs without eating to the point where like your new size stomach is like, oh my gosh, like I can't handle this. So like smart choice. And then that built a relationship to be probably just like positive reinforcement. Like I have these, I feel really good. Cause like if you were to have a burger or bread or something that would swell up and you have a drink of water or anything afterwards, you would probably start like, not just like from potential fats or other things, that you would just feel like gross. Like if someone were to have, it took way too many trips to the buffet and they just like, oh, like it's coming out of my throat. Right. Whereas like for you, probably a little bit more sensitive to that, like nuts and cheese, you won't have
finish. I don't. The other thing is like, if I have a bite left, I've never, ever in my life, like if I'm full and I have 10 bites left, I'm finishing, you know, anything 10 bites or less, not worth taking home. Where now it's like, if it's one bite, I don't care. Cause I'm a lot more sensitive to that. Do you also recommend different supplementation? I mean, the big one right now is the Ozempic semaglutide. And I did that for a while and it worked. And then I noticed on, cause I have an Oura Ring that does heart rate, oxygen levels, HRV. And then anyways, I look back at I got on it last April and you can see my HRV, and the HRV rate is your heart rate variability. It's the milliseconds between each heart rate, and it's a little counterintuitive, but you want it higher and it shows that your body is well recovered and more resilient to stress. If it's lowered and your heart's just beating very consistently, that's more in a stress. So you want a higher number. I was in mid 50s, got on semaglutide, and I didn't draw the correlation again until I got off of it. But my heart rate variability went from mid 50s to like mid to upper 30s. It was a pretty big decrease. That was April, and you can see the graph go up all the way until December when I got off, and then it went right back down. And then now I've even lowered it even further using some vagus nerve stimulator. Anyways, semaglutide, that was my question. So I thought it would work for weight loss, but I didn't realize it also raised my resting heart rate by about, it was like 7 beats per minute for those months, for 8 months. But love to hear your feedback on that and recommendations.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, realistically, I would say very similar to like the gastric sleeve. Like it is a great tool, and if it's used appropriately, I think it's great, right? And so like, I mean, we have some clients, or I have some clients that use it very successfully. So I would say like with both of them, if you're going to try to use that as a solution and not take a look at some lifestyle change, you may be in for a rude awakening down the line. But if like, yeah, they are amazing tools for leveraging change, especially if you're someone that does have an unhealthy relationship with food, or you have a hard time controlling yourself, they kind of force the control.
And so like the gastric sleeve, because I'd done both. I was like, oh, this feels like the sleeve again. I'm more sensitive. I don't want greasy foods. I feel nauseous if I eat shit, and I get full faster. I mean, it was very similar, and it kind of, again, in your face, you're changing, but if you don't make it a lasting change, then just like any diet or working out, anything, if it's not lasting, obviously you're going to go back to the way you were before.
And so I'm a huge fan as long as like the lifestyle stuff comes with it as well. And so like leveraging it to say like, if you, it's like having your response to food, it's like, oh, like I feel bad or I'm not hungry. It's like, cool. Now start developing some of the habits with that. So when you come off of the supplements or whatever it is that you're doing, then you're unshakable. Cause then like you already have the habits. You're probably not going to go back as long as you stick with them. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Again, I've had maybe a dozen of my friends or family have done it, and most of them, anybody who stays on it, like, because again, it kind of forces you, is successful, but the sickness and the nausea, even without eating, is a big thing. But again, this is just a few weeks ago, and I got off of it 6 months ago, and I just am now realizing, cause I'm monitoring my HRV rate again. And I'm like, holy shiz, it went up by 50 or went down by 50%. And I didn't even realize it. And heart rate went down by, or up by 20%. Like those are pretty meaningful numbers that I had no idea that it was negatively impacting my body that way. And I also do, you know, Fitbit and this and the Oura Ring. So I'm double tracking to make sure I'm getting similar results. Any other supplements? Like I've heard Dr. Rhonda Patrick, if you've heard of her on the Joe Rogan podcast, or anyways, like fish oil is her thing. Like if you're going to take one supplement, it's fish oil. Andrew Huberman is, if you're going to take one supplement, it's I mean, he's promoting Athletic Greens, but it's a probiotic, it's a green drink. And then he says, this is the one that I'm promoting, but you could buy any one of those. Creatine, glutamine, like those are things that I take every day, and I plan on doing it for the rest of my life, not only for physical, but cognitive function. Are there any supplements that you recommend either to take or for sure not to take?
Yeah. So I'm probably the exact opposite on that. I would say like the first thing would always be dialing in new, like your food. So like the biggest thing is just, like making sure that protein and calories is in check for what your body needs. And like the rest will kind of take care of itself. Like sometimes all of the other hormonal imbalances or crazy things are from either over consuming certain things or under consuming, or your body's in, you know, like making up for a deficit or a surplus. So if you get the fundamentals in check first, you may not need some of the supplementation. So like start there. And then if you want, like get some blood work done or get something else and then take supplementation according to what your body needs. I think a lot of times just like saying, hey, this is something that everyone needs is a very big blanket statement. And it's not necessarily true. I'm sure you could do all of that. And it would be like a good like catch all, like, hey, look, like if you don't know, sure, take all of these things and like, it's not going to hurt you, but they also may not be necessary. Yeah. And so even when a lot of people. Yeah. And so it's like, it may not be necessary. And sometimes when we start working with someone, if they start asking about supplementation, my joke with them is like, hey, look, like right now your house is on fire and you're worried about paint colors. Let's just put the fire out and like build a solid foundation. And then like when you're there, sure. But like the benefit from taking the supplements is going to give you like a fractional return. And so like there's so many things that you can do that are going to be bigger movers. And then down the line, like you may just be like, screw the supplements, or you may take them. And the fun part is like when you are at the point where you're like, you're feeling a lot better, you're dialed in and you do have that marginal return, you'll probably notice it a lot more. So you'll actually have a big like emotional benefit. Whereas like if you take it when the ship's on fire,
you won't even know. Yeah. Yeah. I do that all the time. And then it's like, oh, I feel like I'm seeing these results. Well, what is it? Is it ice baths or sauna or creatine or the magnesium or the fish oils or the thousand other things? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So now I'm like, as I introduce things, like I just introduced that vagus nerve stimulator. I just introduced that, and I'm going to monitor just that for a month, see what happens to my resting heart rate and HRV rate. But you mentioned blood tests. I do blood tests every month, every other month as well. And I was already taking vitamin D, because that's one that most of society is in America is very short on. And I was taking it every day. It was 2,000, whatever the units are. And getting my blood result, I was still low. So I upped it to 5,000, but I was like, I would have thought I was fine, cause I'm like, I'm supplementing. And then hormones as well. I mean, I big advocate of getting your blood work and making sure that you ask them for hormones. Because a lot of times they weren't. Well, another important one, if you've heard of this one, this is Peter Attia, you know, another podcaster that I follow. Your ApoB levels for longevity. Cause I'm getting a lot more into increasing health span, following all these people that say they're going to live to 200 years. I don't know if that interests you at all, but I'm fascinated by it. I'm like, all right, give it all to me. I'm probably peeing out 80%, but the 20% I'll keep and we'll see. shifting gears to the beginning, you said, I want to dive in a little bit more on the personal side and the upbringing, specifically the switch. You said, I'm a victim of circumstances, and then I'm no longer a victim of circumstances. What caused that?
Basically got into enough trouble. So when I was 17, I got arrested and was facing 4 felonies. And then when I was out on house arrest for that, I got pulled over with a bunch of stolen stuff in my car. So I was like, this is definitely not like that was going to be the end of it. And then cop was awesome. Let me off for, you know, the incident I got pulled over for, so that I wouldn't necessarily have to faced the 4 felonies and was able to like get those taken care of. But that for me was a big wake up call. Okay. Like what am I doing? And sure. Like all the things that I was doing was just because like they were close by. I grew up in a rough neighborhood. That's what everyone else did. So I just like ran with the pack and that was it. But getting to the point where it's like, all right, like I almost ruined my entire life when I was 17. It's like, all right, like maybe there's something different. Maybe like I could do something that's outside of what everyone that I know was doing, right? And like at that point, I didn't really have an answer. One, because I was young, and two, it was just like, hey, I can't keep doing this. I can't just keep following what everyone else is doing. And because I didn't have an answer, I just like, I'm sure you probably hear people that aren't 17 do this. I just threw myself into work. Like I started doing construction. And I just worked nonstop, right? Like I worked before school, would go to school, and then after school, I would start working, and then. Because of the, you know, the felony charges, I didn't get to graduate school or finish school in the normal route. So I just like wrapped that up and then started working from the time I was 17 full-time. Full-time, I mean like 12 to 14 hours a day, 6-7 days a week for years. I basically just didn't give myself any time to get into trouble because I didn't trust myself if I was going to be still. So like that was me taking control at 17.
Yeah. I mean, and it's replacing one addiction with another one, but addictions, I mean, like, I feel like I am addicted to moving my body, 'cause that makes me feel good. Like if I don't get out and do at least a walk. So, and maybe addiction isn't the right word, 'cause maybe addiction is only labeled to something negative, but you're attaching time, energy to one thing and then shifting into something that's positive. I want to shift now a little bit into what we mainly focus on the podcast is joy and fulfillment. Like, what is success? How do we get there? And really diving in and focusing on the emotional side, everything that I've seen, we are 1,000% driven by emotions. We want to feel a certain way, but we set materialistic goals, hoping that they're going to help us feel that way. Anyways, with that being said, you jump into construction. How were you measuring if it was successful or not? Did you get joy and fulfillment out of it? And then compare that with what you're doing now. On the, again, success, joy, fulfillment, and how you feel emotionally.
Yeah. So, but like before I answer that, I'll say like one of the big things in regards to like, you know, like addiction or obsession or like whatever it is that you want to call it. One of the big things for, me or the people that we work with is that it's really hard to break a habit. It's a lot easier to replace one. And so for most people, it's like, hey, like, don't just try to give something up, find something to do in place of it. And it'll be way easier for you. Like if you aren't going to give up smoking, find something you could do when you would normally smoke just to replace it with a positive habit. But
yeah.
So in regards to construction, like when I was younger, I it was probably a little bit of endorphin release of just like, you know, working hard and like the physical exertion. And then like, I was also, you know, out of all of my friends, I was making the most money because construction pays well. So when I was 17 years old, I was like, most of the friends that I knew that had jobs were working at, you know, fast food restaurants and they were making nothing. So like that was like the reward. It's like, oh, great. And then I do think that like hindsight, looking back, there was a lot of things that I got fulfillment out of. I didn't really realize in them at the time. And so like looking back, I think the thing that I really enjoyed was because I was doing residential remodels or additions. So, you know, talking to a homeowner, even, you know, at 17 and like learning about their dream room addition, their dream house, their ideal bathroom, that ideal kitchen, and taking something that was like in their head and bringing it to life. It's like, that was really fulfilling for me. But like at the time I was unaware. It was just like, oh, cool. Like getting to know them, the design, this, that, whatever. And then seeing them when it's done or as it's going throughout, like the love that they have in their eyes for the way their house is changing. That really juiced me. I wasn't aware of it then. And then, are we gonna say something?
Yeah, I'll let you finish though, and then I'll go back to that because I like what you're saying, but I do want to hear. It's such a big shift, I think, to work and then find fulfillment out of it. And I do want to ask a few questions on that, but and then like going through something that you're personally passionate about, which was weight loss, and it changed your life, and then being able to give that to others. I'm sure that's a huge difference. I want to focus a little bit more on that.
Well, and so I think the catalyst for my personal change was the my physical transformation, and everything in my life started to change with that. So like when I was working construction, I was probably successful on paper, but I was, living worse than check to check, drinking all the time, smoking all the time. Like, even though I made really good money, I spent a lot of it trying to be happy and never really was. And then when I started to focus on myself, to work on myself, I think that the biggest thing for me was realizing that if I put focus, energy, or an attention on something, that I can control the outcome. And then starting to test that in other areas of my life. So it was like, oh, cool. I started with what I saw in the mirror. And then after that, it was like relationships, business, finances, like all of those things. Because even like when in that stage of my life, I don't think I had a, romantic relationship or a girlfriend that lasted more than, 8 to 10 months. And then after like improving on myself, like I met my wife, and within 2 weeks of meeting each other, we set our wedding date. We're still together. So it's like just like a massively like a complete turnaround, and just like how I deal with people, life, like everything. And it started with my physical change. And so for me, it was like I wanted to work with people to help them have a similar catalyst for change. So yes, the physical transformation was important, but like the selfish goal for me was like if I can help them take care of themselves physically, then like hopefully the rest of their life is better, because that's how it worked for me. And so like not everyone has that same journey, but that was my selfish want. And opening the gym or working with people in the nutrition fitness space was that like, hey, look, if we can help them build a better relationship with their self, their body, the way that they look and feel, that everything else in their life will improve.
Yeah. Which one's harder? Construction, which is known to be a hard job, or running your own business and trying to create a product, market it, advertise it, and do A to Z?
Running your own business, 1,000%. But I also think that like fitness itself is a different breed when it comes to a business, because like say construction or solar or cookies or like whatever it is, like it when it was a construction, someone would pay me to do a job and then it was up to me to do it, right? Whereas like fitness or nutrition, they pay me and they have to do part of the work, like a lot of the work. They look to me for guidance or structure or whatever, but like it's up to them to do the work, right? So it's like, and with a gastric sleeve or a remodel, you pay and it's like, hey, like I paid for this outcome, I better get it. It's like fitness and nutrition, it's not
Different.
that guaranteed. So it is a very interesting dynamic.
And I assume, well, let me just ask, which one do you enjoy more? Which one are you getting more excitement, fulfillment out of? The construction or the what you're doing right now.
What I'm doing right now, 100%.
Okay. Which is what I figured, but I thought I would ask. And what I wanted to point out is it's harder, but you enjoy it more because it's aligned with something that you believe in. And I think running Dirty Dough is way harder than the solar company. But because I narrowed down mission statement, core values, vision, which I never did with solar, it's way easier to stick through all of the shit that happens in life because you're like, it is attached to something bigger for me. So and it sounds like it's the same for you. So I appreciate you sharing that. What I was gonna ask before, I wrote it down. Oh, you mentioned I'm kind of going right back to the beginning with including things that you like into life and not, saying you have to go cold turkey. I did yoga this morning, and before I did yogurt, before I did yoga, I took some cannabis, and it made the experience so much better. But I'm like, I go to the gym, but I still have these other parts of my life that I feel like it gave me a lot of benefit. And it's very hard, I think, even if I'm drinking, for somebody to argue that, I'm not as healthy as I could be. But it's like, well, nobody's perfect, but I think I'm pretty damn healthy, and I get my blood tests and all this. Like, allow yourself some freaking slack because you have to enjoy life or you're not gonna want to make it to the finish line.
100%.
You also said you didn't realize the fulfillment that you were getting from the construction. So what advice would you give to yourself or somebody else that's in a job, they're working, they kind of like it, maybe they kind of don't, but like, how do you find the fulfillment in the moment rather than waiting till you're done with it and like, oh, that was really cool.
I think this, and this is something I've learned through like not just fitness, but I just business entrepreneurship, whatever, but it's allowing time for reflection. Cause I think back then, like I didn't know I was just working all the time and I never gave myself space to think. And so like now like reflection is a big part of, you know, my life with, you know, business, health, fitness, my relationship, my wife, like all of those things. And so I think that, if I were to tell myself then, is like, allow myself to slow down and at least think like, all right, like, what about this? Do you like, right? Or how do you enjoy this? And I think a lot of people don't give themselves permission to slow down and see, to reflect, right? Because I do think that like most people, if they did, they'd probably have a better life because they would identify things that they like, or they'd be able to coach themselves through things a lot better than they're handling life now. So giving themselves space to reflect, to think, to coach themselves through some things. Like if you don't like something, all right, like what can you do to change it? Right. But like no one really gives themselves that permission to do so because we're not really taught that.
Yeah. And I do think it's always, we go from one distraction to the other, you know, it's work to Netflix, to the phone, to something else, to a different activity. I heard just a YouTube video a week or two ago. Now I'm planning a 3-day silent retreat with myself. And he says, you know, you have all of these thoughts that arise in your head that are caused from external factors. You're talking to somebody, you're thinking about something, you see something, but he goes, eventually those will go away. Then you'll reach boredom, which is a signal from your body to say, we need to do something because I'm dopamine deprived. Then you push past that by recognizing that's all it is a signal. And then he says you will reach what he calls the end of thought, the end of thoughts from external factors. And it could take a few days. It could take 10 days. I don't know. And then at that point, he's like, and then you can actually sit with yourself and not think about all of the external things, but you think about the internal things. And it's a great space for meditation and really finding, you know, life's purpose, things like that. But I do think that there's, sometimes it's communicated like find what you love and then build a business around it, which you just can't always do, but you can have a business like, or a job like construction and realize in the moment what you like, just like what you're, and frankly with Dirty Dough, when I bought it, I didn't have all of this set up. I went back and kind of reverse engineered it and I'm like, okay, well, I want joy and fulfillment. How do you do that? Well, that's mindset, mental health. How does that relate to cookies? And then we integrate it to the brand. Well, that means just like people, you know, the goodness is on the inside. So we're going to make plain looking cookies that have triple layers and stuffing and then draw that correlation. So you don't have to set it up perfectly. You can get whatever you're doing in your life and say, what do I like? What do I not? How do I laser in on what I like and realize that I like it and realize, and even if you don't like it, that you're at least getting the fulfillment out of it. Just like you said, it's way harder now, but you are getting a lot more fulfillment. How would you relate? I mean, if you were to look back at the hardest time in your life, like mentally, like what the hell am I doing? Lack of purpose. Would that be at 17 years old through all of that? Issues with the law, drugs, things like that? Or do you feel like it's crept in the same or even more as a business owner? And the pressure that comes down on you on that.
So I think that to be fair, even when I was doing construction, yeah, it was me, my dad, and my brother's business. I've never really had a job, so I've always been a business owner. So but that pressure all the time. But I think that it happens more now, or the further I get, because I think that like. Even though I love it, I do think that the more successful that we get, or the bigger that we get, the bigger the problems seem. And so sometimes like, and I also think there's a fallacy that like, after you reach some level of success, like things will just be easier, and it's not, they just get harder. Like things have more zeros or more commas or like whatever. And so sometimes like when we face a big problem now, it's like, still like, why? Like, man, it's like, why are we even
every problem? I thought they're all gone.
Yeah. And so it's like, why are we even doing this? Like, what's the point? Cause I like, if we get to a point and then like everything feels like it's broken. And it's like, all right, like we're this far and we're picking up the pieces again. And so those to me sometimes are the most sobering moments. And so it's not necessarily lost. It's just like, once again, a time for reflection is like, is this really what I want to keep doing? And like, still here. And it's most of the time it's a fleeting moment. That's kind of a dark thing. It's just like, here we go.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it's like, what's the alternative? Cause like I do love what I do and the impact that we have, or just the relationships and connections. And so it's like, yeah, like I couldn't see myself doing anything else anyways. So like,
yeah, you just have to come back and remind yourself. Super interesting answer though. I mean, facing felony charges, drugs, alcohol, everything. And you're still like, well, it's harder now. And I was hoping you would answer that, because I feel the same way. Like, no matter what I've gone through, like it's harder today than it ever has been. But I'm also way more equipped with whatever I need to be able to handle that. And then also realizing that fallacy of one day all my problems will be solved. One day I'm going to reach a level that Taylor Swift reached, because she's a billionaire. And then it's like, no, Taylor Swift deals with this. And the reason I'm bringing up Taylor Swift is because she has a documentary on Netflix, and I have daughters and I've seen it. But I found it awesome, because she's like, I struggle with this and anorexia for a while, because I was seeing myself. And it's like, there's nobody with a perfect life. As soon as you realize that, then you're like, okay, cool. It's not just me that's not perfect. So I do think that's a very, it could be depressing. You know, you're like, oh, I'm never going to solve all my problems. I'm always going to be struggling, to maybe going down, feeling a little depressed, and then like, oh, but that's okay, because that's what life is. It's all about the journey. It's not about the destination. Let me detach myself from the outcome of the goal, but still chase the goal for the thrill and excitement of that fulfillment piece that is really ingrained into our human nature. So anyways, I like that answer a lot. Last question for you, Mickey. Legacy. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want your legacy to be?
I just want people to have a good time. but like, I mean, realistically, like, I don't have any big, like, crazy whatever. It's like, I want people to love themselves and to have a good time, to enjoy their life.
I like that. And because I do think a lot of it is like, oh, the legacy, what is it? And, or like, what's my biggest dream or something like that. And I had a pretty good conversation with my wife about that. Cause I was like, what do you want to explore? What do you want to do? Like, we'll get a nanny. What do you want to do? Painting? Do you know? And I'm like forcing her to have a bigger purpose. And then finally she just sat down and she's like, stop. I don't have any big dreams. I just want to be a wife and a mother and do what I do and leave me the hell alone. I'm like, okay, I accept that. I'll stop. But that is completely acceptable, you know? And I love that. Same thing. It's like, it doesn't need to be anything big. I just want to freaking live and help other people live a better life. So beautiful. Yeah. Mickey, thank you for the time. And the insights, and congrats on everything you're doing. Turns out business ownership is harder than construction. Wow.
Yep.
Where can our listeners connect with you?
Easiest place for me is Instagram. So that handle is Mr. 20 Pack on Instagram. It's MR, the number 2O, and then pack. If you want to check out Fit Foodies, it's fitfoodiesapp.com. You can check out what we do, become a member, all that fun stuff. But easiest way to find me is Instagram.
Okay, awesome. And we'll include all of that in the show notes. Mickey, thank you.
Yes, sir.